So, hi everyone. Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of the Recruitment Reality Podcast. I'm delighted to be joined by one of our partners, Phil from Select Software Reviews. I guess, Phil, as I always say, I'll do you a disservice if I do your introduction. So it'd be great to just hear a little bit more about you, probably a bit about your background, because you've got a really interesting route into the kind of HR tech world. And now you've obviously got a very interesting business that gets to see quite a sprawling overview of HR tech and what businesses are looking for. So it'd be great to just get a quick intro, if that's okay.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on. Look forward to the conversation. So I have a roundabout route to where I am now. I started my career off working in venture capital, doing early stage software investing at a firm called Bessemer Venture Partners. Always been a finance nerd, been investing since I was 12. Still have the same account open at Fidelity. Wanted to start my own business. So I went to business school at Harvard Business School. And while I was there, I got really sick one week and couldn't leave the house. So I started messing around with programming and sort of over the next year or so, taught myself how to program. Started a small HR tech SaaS in the employer branding space, basically helping companies to tell their story, you know, what's it like to work at our company sort of thing, publish those testimonials, get them out there on your career site. And then probably like 4 years ago, I hired somebody to run that business for me as a general manager. I had some extra time. I really wanted to start another business. And I saw that most companies were struggling with tool selection. There's like 600 ATSs out there. I think literally there's over 30,000 HR tech vendors. It's really complicated. It's a lot of money many times, and you can kind of make or break your career sometimes with one of these implementations. Mm-hmm. And so I started a blog called Select Software Reviews, where I just wrote up like, hey, like you're looking for an ATS, like here's what you need to know. Here are the vendors you should be looking at. Here's why one's good or bad. And that blog started getting traction. And so I decided to try to turn it into a business. And now we are a business, and around 100,000 companies a month use our research to figure out what tools to buy. Companies all over the world, big, small, you name it, they're kind of on there looking at how am I going to use AI? How am I going to get my next HRIS, video interview software, everything in between? And we try to give people the tools they need to get the right price, get the ROI, get the internal buy-in, everything to be successful. And then the way our business makes money is advertising. So we have some phenomenal partners that we have some sponsored listings on our site. We have a newsletter that people sponsor, et cetera. But we keep all the content free. And we also keep our editorial team completely separate from our sales team. So there's no sort of bias bleeding across. We're not writing about companies just because they pay us or anything like that. In fact, every single week, we basically turn down companies that want to pay us to be on the site that just don't meet our editorial standards.
Awesome. Well, I think your point about there being 600 ATSs, for the life of me, I can't imagine why, but there's about 600 new ATSs a year. And it's just the most difficult thing to get right. And actually, therefore, purchasing the right one for your business becomes even more difficult, right? It's just such a strange landscape. And I think the much like a CRM for a sales team, you really can lose the faith of your team if you get the wrong one. And like I say, it can be properly career defining, which is quite scary, really.
It is. And I think what's, you know, it's not even just like these one-off events that are career defining. It's like, are you good or bad at technology? Because if you're bad at it, like, you're not going to be able to get by that long. Like, you're not, you know, going to fly under the radar unless you work at like some really terrible business that like doesn't need to grow or something like that. But like, if you don't know kind of what you're doing, just like start learning about it. And you know, start with like small implementations, like, you know, get like a free trial of the video interview software, or, you know, implement some other kind of point solution and just get some reps in so that you can, you know, do a great job on your next ATS. And that's going to help your business, and therefore it's going to help you in your career.
Yeah, totally. So just to sort of dig into the career-defining side of things. I'm really interested to get your view on how you've seen, since starting the business, the sophistication of the sort of talent acquisition manager when it comes to their tech stack and how that's changed over time. I think maybe, you know, things are starting to evolve where actually it has become like an absolute core competency, whereas not that long ago you could get away with just sort of banging in an ATS. I'm interested in your point of view on that.
It's changed a lot. So I started in 2018, and I think that the majority of talent acquisition teams were lost in the woods. They were buying, you know, an ATS because their payroll vendor said, hey, we have an ATS now, like you should use this, and you already have a relationship with us. And yeah, it's like the worst one in the market, but, you know, like just do it. And people will be like, okay, sounds good. I'll use, you know.
It's better than nothing.
Yeah, right, exactly. And it's easy. And I already do have a contract with you. And like, you know, a lot of these vendors have really good brand names. And it's sort of like you're not going to get fired for buying IBM sort of thing. Just everybody's going to curse your name when they log into the system. You're still going to be there, but everybody's going to hate you. In the last 5 years, I think that there's a couple of factors. One is we've seen more and more people in leadership roles who are like millennials and grew up with technology, and it's just been part of their lives. Like anybody that, you know, is part of that generation, you're just going to be a lot more facile with it. I think that people in sort of the other generations upskilled a ton. Like a lot of people got like really smart. They went to conferences. They started using these tools. The tools got a lot better. It used to be that like most of these tools really sucked. And it was really the creme de la creme that was like, oh, this is great. And now there's actually a lot of stuff out there that is really well designed. It's easy to implement, easy to get to ROI. It's easy to calculate the ROI. And then I think you're also seeing that there are a lot of people getting into talent acquisition that came from other parts of the organization that were just more tech forward, and they're taking that expertise to TA. So I saw like a CFO who's the head of people operations at a company, and you know, you're the CFO, like you're using all sorts of technology to run the financial aspects of the business. And when you get to talent acquisition or people operations, you're like, hey, well, how can we leverage tech to do something similar? So those three trends have definitely led to more and more of these teams becoming really sophisticated, which is awesome for us because like we have sort of like the base level content on our site where it's like, hey, like, you know, what is an ATS? Like you're buying your first ATS, like what should you look for, et cetera. And that's really important. And then we have like, okay, you want to level up, like you want sourcing, you want CRM, you want automation. Here's sort of that next level system that you can leverage to grow your organization.
Absolutely. And I think that what I've seen is the growth of the sort of talent operations director, where you would, you know, it would just be, you're a recruiter, just recruit. Whereas now it's like, okay, let's be slightly more sophisticated. And, you know, there's companies like HelloFresh plugging in Power BI tools into their ATSs to get really powerful data that they can actually use effectively. And it's just changed so much to actually be, you know, I don't know why, but for many, many years, recruitment did stay relatively still. And it was just about hiring people and, you know, hiring managers doing it and just get the job done. And it's not really part of my role to actually, this is a core function of every business. And I think that's only going to grow because regardless of what happens with layoffs, the talent and skill shortage is still going to be there. It's still going to be a challenge over time.
Yeah, there's not enough people to do these jobs. I think one of the funny things that, in an anecdote, I went to this sourcing meetup pre-pandemic, maybe it was like 2019 or something. And I remember there was this guy that came in, it was a room full of sourcers, like 100 people. And he was like this famous guy in the sourcing community. And like literally for like the hour long presentation could be summarized as send a second email. Like if you reach out to a candidate, don't just send that first email, send a second email. And he was going through like this Gmail plugin with Google Sheets and all this stuff. And it's like, that's sort of like indicative of where the world was maybe for recruiters and sourcers like 4 or 5 years ago. And now it's like you use Gem, you're using HireTool, SeekOut, like all these like really powerful tools that like Or you're using like Hirefly, where you just upload the rec and then they find all the people and they email them and they just show up on your calendar. Yeah. So, it's changed a ton. And I think it's going to, I think this AI paradigm, like obviously it's super hot in the news right now, but I think you can believe some of the hype on this stuff. And it's going to change things again, where you're going to have, and it's going to be uncomfortable for people, but if you're, you know, sort of like a traditional recruiter, you got to start thinking about how can you be more strategic in your organization? How do you, you know, this talent acquisition ops or recruiting ops sort of role that's looking at, you know, all the different steps and all the different data points and, oh, we're losing people because we don't pay enough, or we're losing people because our employer brand sucks, or we're losing people because we're not following up with them quick enough. Like those sorts of insights are really impactful. And so if I'm a recruiter right now, and I'm looking at some of the tooling that's coming out that's going to make me more effective, how am I going to utilize that extra time? I'm going to be more strategic about the business, and that's how I'm going to advance my career.
Totally. And actually, rather than just doing the action of recruiting, taking the decision of strategy, basically. Like, the whole point is that it's no longer talent acquisition. And I had a chat with Ariana Moon from Greenhouse, and they call it talent planning and acquisition. Mm. And that's the point now, is if you're not planning for the future, even if you've got no requisitions, right, you have to plan for them to come, because one day they're going to come back and it's going to be a talent shortage and if you haven't fixed your employer brand like you talk about, you're going to struggle.
Yeah.
So it's a super interesting market at the moment. And I think obviously with all of the sort of turmoil, I mean, it's funny because Willow launched in January 2020. There hasn't been a point in time where there hasn't been some sort of turmoil in our existence as a business, which is just like crazy, really.
Yeah, it's the new normal for sure.
It is the new normal. And that's why, you know, getting information and data out is so important. In terms of the technological change across that time, what are the biggest trends that you're kind of seeing at the moment or have seen over time in the shift from a perspective of not just like what's the new hottest technology, but also like what's the one that recruiters actually really care about the most and enjoy?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think obviously your ATS is like your core system. I think that there's some cool stuff with CRM that's like actually being utilized. Like Demery was one of the first companies on the CRM scene. And I remember like a friend of mine was the head of TA at a fairly large company, and they implemented Beamery and like nobody used it. It was like just too complicated and like people like didn't get it. And now I feel like those vendors have sort of figured out like how do we make the UI and the UX like so simple where, you know, there's all these automations and it just like it gives you superpowers. So the vendors getting better is a thing. I think the biggest trend for me right now is the AI sourcing landscape. So I briefly mentioned this company earlier that I'll mention again called Hirefly. And basically what these guys are doing is like they have AI where you upload a job rec and it reads it. And it's like, oh, okay, like so you're looking for, you know, a job engineer with 5 years of experience that lives in these geographies. And you're like, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Cool. And they're like, all right, I just found like 50 people. Do these look decent to you? And you say like yes or no for a few of them. And it's like, oh, okay, let me iterate on this list a little bit. And then it's like, I'm going to go email all these people. And you're like, oh, thank you so much. And so it emails all these people. And it's like, hey, like, you know, we're hiring at this company. Would you be interested? And then it puts those people on the calendar if they're interested. And so as a recruiter, it's almost like what a third party recruiter does, except it's not going to be as good, right? By any stretch of the imagination, but it's a heck of a lot cheaper. And then as a recruiter, like I can handle like 4 or 5 times almost more recs at any given time. Maybe you don't want to tell your boss that right away. you theoretically could. Because people are just showing up on your calendar and they're the right people and they're interested. And it's like, that saves you like all your sourcing. So like that sort of stuff is really cool. And obviously there's like the gems and the seek outs and the hire tools and like Greenhouse bought that company, Interstellar, like there's a lot of these tools where you can kind of like sequence the right candidates and like source on LinkedIn, and that's still a big thing. But I think these automation layers are coming, and they're going to be great because they're going to do a bunch of stuff you don't want to do. And then you can focus on the stuff you do want to do, which is like talking to people like, hey, like, tell me about your story. What are you interested in? Well, here's what this role is. Like, what do you think about this, this, and this? Okay, you'd actually be a great fit. Like, that's fun versus like, you know, emailing 100 people.
Boolean searches.
Yeah, right. Going on LinkedIn and like, you know, clicking your Chrome extension and like building this list and like emailing those people and like getting people to say, hey, never email me again, and all this stuff. Like, just have a robot do that.
Yeah. I'd be worried if you're doing the, yeah, I'm interested, and you're doing the secondary conversation and then they're saying, please don't email me again. That would be pretty embarrassing.
Yeah.
And you need a new job. So, and what do you think about the, because obviously quite a lot of the pushback, especially with AI kind of sourcing, is just around the potential for sort of algorithm-based bias, i.e. how does this bit of software actually go out and source those individuals and go out and find the right places, etc. When you're either speaking with the TA community or technology and how they intersect, like, how are people overcoming that objection? And do you think the objection is a valid one yet or not?
I think it's valid. So the there's a couple of different anecdotes here. One is, I think that Apple credit card that came out a few years ago was using some sort of algorithm, and like, it was like literally giving like men like better balances than like their wives, who like, it's like the same household income, like the same everything, right? So like, there's bias there. There's, I don't know if you've seen these like online coding tests. So like, if you're a programmer, instead of video interview, you get a skills test that's like, do this algorithm thing. And I talked to one of the founders of one of those businesses a few years ago, and he was like, we noticed that like women like weren't doing well on the tests. We didn't know why. And then like, we realized like, oh, we don't have any women on the team, and they like fixed that. And then they fixed the test, and like, it was 50-50. So I think there's always, you know, the threat of bias. I think that most of these sourcing technologies actually have like, you know, show me underrepresented group filters on there. So there's, you know, there's, in some view of the world, like, there's a potential for like too much focus on certain candidates, which is going to, you know, bombard them and maybe make it a bad experience for them. Especially if you get in like a couple of these systems and you've got a good resume, you're probably going to get a lot of emails. But it's always going to be a cat and mouse game with this stuff. And so it's a really valid question. It's one that probably should be continuously asked, because at the end of the day, like, sometimes I lose sight of this, like, these HR technologies are, they impact people's careers and therefore their lives, because your career, your earnings, your, you know, what job you're at is like such a big part of your life. And so, it's like, oh, you know, like, our system's just a little bit broken, but it's like, yeah, but that impacted like, you know, 10 people in like a very poignant way.
Absolutely.
So you gotta,
who were perfectly good for the job, but didn't get it because of, you know, whatever. And I guess my fear with it, and we don't have AI in our system because of this very point. We don't think we can develop it well enough or plug in somebody else's, you know, AI tool, be it Amazon or whatever, into Willow that we can guarantee isn't going to have some level of bias in it. And because it's such an essential decision in both parties' lives, because if you haven't got the most diverse, you know, the best people in your business, you statistically are going to do worse than your competition. And equally, if you're being discriminated against by a bit of AI and nobody even knows it, then your livelihood, as you say, you're not paying your mortgage, your rent, whatever.
Yeah.
So I think it can be quite scary to the TA world, and I think we have to, like you say, keep talking about it and basically challenging it to make sure that people are holding their own technology accountable.
Yeah.
And looking back and saying, okay, well, we need to check these numbers. Are they representative, etc.? So it's a super interesting debate. I think the main thing for me, like from an AI perspective, is if you still can't write a good job description, like with ChatGPT helping you out and all of this, all of the tools that are out there, like, just you should just give up because it's just crazy. Like, there's so many things to help you do it. So I guess switching gears slightly, like, obviously, you know, the whole point of your business is to help TA professionals essentially find the right technology. If you weren't a website and you were just Phil having a chat with somebody, what would your advice be to somebody when they start looking for this kind of stuff? What would the questions that they should ask themselves, and how should they go about it?
I'm a big believer that you don't want to waste your time or anybody else's. And so you want to make sure you have internal alignment, that the thing you're looking for is actually going to happen. So if you're looking at tools that cost $30,000 a year, or even if it's something that's $3,000 a year, like, you got to make sure that the money exists, and you got to understand what you need to do to get that money. Because for different organizations, it's different. And so you can straight up ask the CFO, you can go to other functional leaders, say, hey, you got a new CRM last year. How did you do that? So that's kind of step one. Step two, I always like to get people's feedback. So I would get other people internally to kind of help me vet ideas. Because a lot of times you're trying to solve for like some big problem, which is like, we need more salespeople. And it's like, all right, like there's 50 different things we could do to get more salespeople. We could, one, make sure people don't leave. So that's like a compensation thing. That's an employee engagement thing. We can source more aggressively. We can have a better employer brand. We can have a better recruiting process, like all these different things. And so it could be cool to get like the hiring manager's thoughts on these things, vet the ideas, and then be like, all right, what we actually need is like just more top of funnel. So let's look at sourcing tools. Go out, do your research, talk to 3 or 4 companies, take really good notes. It's hard to remember after the demos, like what goes where, negotiate well. And then when you implement, follow the advice of your account manager so that you're successful, because they're economically incentivized to make sure that you do a good job, because that's kind of how they're going to make their bonus, is whether or not you churn.
Yeah.
And so they're going to have all the tips and tricks to make sure you're successful, and just like follow their advice, and you'll do a good job.
Yeah, very unlikely that you get crappy advice from a customer success manager. So if you decide to ignore it,
it's at your own peril.
The greatest idea, yeah, at your own peril, yeah. Indeed. And what this is just me being intrigued, really. Where do you typically see people come to your website? Where in their journey are they? Like, is it initial education, just seeing what's out there, or are they usually quite informed by the time they get to you?
It's all over the map. I think many people know they want a piece of software, and they're like, we know we want video interview software. What are the ones out there? What are the ones that might be good for our business? And how should we think about pricing, questions to ask on demos, things like that? There are people that just want to like get smarter about HR tech. So like they'll sign up for our newsletter, they'll read our blog posts, and there's more like higher level content, like, you know, what is a modern applicant tracking system, and like, what are the kind of features and functionalities it can do? Or they might watch like an interview that we've done with a TA leader that goes through how they bought a system or how they do. I love what you said about the greenhouse woman, like talent acquisition and planning. Like, we've got this awesome interview with this guy who talks about, I think he runs a TA for a hospital system. And what they do is they actually look at like their talent competitors and their open jobs. And they know that like if the hospital system down the street opens up like 4 nursing recs, like they're going to lose 2 people. So they're doing all this like data analysis to understand like who's moving into the ecosystem, who's moving out. And therefore, like, how do we have to plan so that 60 days from now, we don't lose somebody and we're like, oh my gosh. And it takes us another 60 days.
Out of nowhere. Yeah. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, people are kind of, you know, we're trying to do all things HR tech and just be useful. So hopefully we are. And you can also check out other people's HR tech stacks. You know, you want to see like what somebody else is doing that's a similar size business to yours, what tech they're using, how they're using it, stuff like that.
So you can do that on Select Software. You can actually... go and engage with other people in the community and talk about their tech stack.
Yeah, and we've got a bunch of write-ups on our blog for people that, just like took the time out to write up, like, here's all the stuff I'm using, here's how I'm using it. And it's just very, it's interesting because sometimes you don't know what you don't know, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
So, like in my business, like, I would love it if there were like five Phils that were like, hey, I'm running some sort of like niche media business in like a B2B vertical. You know, I'm doing like everything related to like customer success technology, and here are the tools that we use, and here's the process, and here's how we put together content, all this stuff. And I'd probably be like, oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I totally agree. I've obviously talked about video software, which is obviously our bag. I'm interested to hear what, again, like what specifically in that vertical. I mean, it's you could literally get super niche in every single part of HR tech, but within video, going super niche because that's who we are and that's kind of what our listeners are thinking about or whatever. What have you seen in the change in there, and do you think it's going to become like just a stable part, like the telephone interview is now? Yeah. Is it going to replace that altogether for most roles, some roles, all roles, you know, no roles? What do you think?
I think it's a huge part of the ecosystem. So it's kind of funny, like when I was working at Bessemer back in the day, this is like 2010, I actually, one of the deals I sourced was HireVue.
Wow.
Back when it was like $1 million business and it was like the only video, and they were like sending webcams to people. And even back then it was like, oh, this kind of makes sense. Like most computers in the future will have a camera. You can get a lot more data subconsciously from talking to somebody face to face. And also there's this whole asynchronous video interview thing, which like can save a ton of time. It can be good for the candidate experience, like all this stuff. And I think it took 10 years in a pandemic for a lot of companies to kind of realize that. But now I think most companies would say, yeah, of course we're going to use video interviews. Like you just get more out of it. And we're just used to it. You know what I mean? Like we're just used to being on camera for Zoom. And so why would we do something different for the interview process? So it can just be good for both sides of the equation. And you could even imagine a future that has some sort of AI. And of course, there's like the AI like vetting or whatever. But like, you know, imagine like a representative from your company that's like basically machine generated that can have a conversation and answer questions around like compensation and hours and interview process and whatever else. Like, maybe that's like a little bit too like, you know, futuristic. But like you could see that happening in the next couple of years and be a good experience.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's futuristic these days? Like, although it is 2023 and it was 2022 and Back to the Future, wasn't it? So we're a bit behind on hoverboards, but maybe interactive individual AIs. I mean, there's Olivia and like, who is it? Paradox?
Yeah.
Is it Paradox? Yeah, so they're doing stuff like that already. I can just see it going next level up. And basically, like, it's things like actually enhancing the candidate experience using AI, I totally believe in, like things like rejection emails, but making them specific to the things that actually, you know, as a recruiter, you click a couple of buttons that say what was wrong, and then AI generates an actual meaningful bit of feedback that goes to the candidate,
yeah,
as opposed to recruiter just ignores them forever and hopes that when they've got another position available, that they'll still speak to them.
You just got to get some buy-in for that. Cause I used to be a big feedback guy. But I got too many like responses to the feedback, I guess, that were like very negative.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I just always thought that like people deserve to know. And so I would write like, you know, a couple paragraphs like, hey, here's what I thought, blah, blah, blah. Just cause that's what I would want somebody to do for me. But a lot of people don't actually want feedback. And if you're a recruiter, you've probably had this where somebody gets angry and they're like, you know, well, you don't know what you're talking about. And it's like, oh, okay. Thanks.
Cool. Thanks. Yeah.
I took a time out to write a few paragraphs for you, but sounds good. Have a good, good career.
I always start my feedback with, this is just about this moment in time. and it's about my opinion at this time.
Yeah,
so that's whether good. I'm right or wrong, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But actually, this is what I saw, and make of it what you will. That's what I always say. And I actually do it now with Loom videos.
Yeah.
Because I find that, again, like the written version of it, you know, 50% of emails are read in the wrong tone. So if I could give any advice, it would be like send an email with a Loom video. And if they don't want to watch it because they don't want to hear the feedback, then they don't even have to ever know what I said, which is quite cool. But anyway, so look, to round up, it's been great to have a chat. Round up, it would be really great to, I'm sorry to kind of put you on the spot, Phil, but I always ask for like two or three bits of sort of key advice that you would give to a TA person in the current market. I guess you can relate that to, you know, finding software. You can relate it to just the market and, you know, how to hire at the moment. But it'd be good to get your, I guess, two or three top tips that you would give to somebody right now.
Sure. I think the two that I'll relay or maybe relate to, the first is figure out how to become like sort of superhuman with tooling. So, you know, in a very extreme example, think about somebody who's like collecting paper resumes through the mail versus somebody who's using like a best-in-class tech stack. The best-in-class person is probably like close to 100 times more effective. And my guess is that you can be at least 2 to 3x more effective if you had the right tools. And then to get the right tools, you have to make the right pitch internally. You have to show you've done the research, how it's going to translate into your increased progress so you can get the money from your boss. I think the other is that, like, and this is just like the scary reality of the world we live in, everything's changing so fast. And the last 10 years, things changed a lot. The next 10 years, they're going to change 10 times faster. You got to keep learning. You got to keep getting better. And you got to keep breaking through the wall of like, I know it's like a lot of brain damage to like learn about new stuff, but like, you just got to do it. Otherwise, you're going to become a little bit obsolete. And a lot of people will be in that obsolete bucket. And so if you're one of the people who like learns about how to leverage all this stuff, become more strategic, become more of that like recruiting ops, TA ops person, you're just going to accelerate your trajectory. And if you're listening to this, like you probably want to accelerate your trajectory, right? Like you're doing some sort of like professional development. You could be doing a million other things right now. And so I would just keep doing the stuff you're doing, like learn these tools and just keep trying to learn as much as possible because the world's changing really, really fast.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like the halving the size of a chip every 2 years or whatever it is.
Yeah, more law.
Yeah, exactly. But it's the TA tech law. Maybe we could call it the Phil law. Things speed up at twice the rate every 10 years. It's probably true. And I think also the appetite for it is increasing every single year. Like the awareness of how much money and time you can save by having a good tech stack is finally reaching, for NTA, is finally reaching like the top levels and really, you know, turning into part of the organization. So really great. Really great advice, Phil. Thank you. Thanks so much for coming on. How do people get in touch with you if they want to connect or speak to somebody in the team over there?
Yeah. Well, you can always go to selectsoftwarereviews.com, check out our research. If you want to connect with me, Phil Strazula with 2 Z's and 2 L's on LinkedIn. And thanks for having me.
Yeah. Awesome. It's been great. Thanks, Phil.